Welcome to the Rap Reaction Podcast. My name is Kyle. With me are my co-hosts for the Rap Reaction Podcast. You know, let's do something different that we never do. Guys, why don't you introduce yourselves?
Oh, okay. Hi, I'm Nick.
I was expecting more. Hi, I'm Anthony. And we're part of this podcast too, I guess.
Yeah. I love these ham-fisted openings for the Rapid Reaction because it just makes it so much...
Good, just keep us guessing.
Makes it so much fun for the listeners. Buccaneers, winners of four in a row.
Count them, four.
Who would have thought of that? Who would have thought this was going to happen? Like, at the beginning of this season, I think out of... All three of us did... predictions for how this season was going to go, right?
Uh-huh.
Nobody picked four wins in a row.
Not here.
I think you picked
three in a row, and that was your big bold thing.
Yeah, our optimistic 9-7 season. There is not four wins in a row on this. And
it's true, very true.
This is this is uncharted territory for me. I think what this is and what we're seeing here is a culture change. You're going to hear that word a lot this week.
Yep.
I don't like that phrase.
You don't, or you do or don't?
I think that's a dumb phrase. I'm sorry.
Well, think about it.
I'm just being honest with you because I feel like a team can have a culture of, yeah, we want to win. We want to be better. We want to do all this and that. You know, we can't accept losing and still lose because they don't have the players. It's not a culture change. The roster's just better.
Well, hold on a second. Hold on. Next week is it at New Orleans or is New Orleans coming home to us?
Home game.
Okay. Next weekend when New Orleans comes into town, your immediate thought is we should win this game, right?
Right.
Okay. If we played that same game earlier this year, your thought would have been, "Boy, I hope we can win this game." Right.
Most of the earlier season, I would agree with that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the culture change I'm talking about. That's the feeling. It's that feeling of starting to trust your team again, starting to really getting a sense for how good your team is and how well they can match up with other teams. And not just saying, hey, we're probably going to lose this game, and just hoping to be surprised. Right now, it's a matter of, okay, you expect to win games now. That's the culture change I'm talking about, and that's going to permeate out to the fans, and it's going to permeate into like Raymond James Stadium every Sunday now. Hopefully, you're going to start seeing more Bucks fans at games. You're going to see, businesses.
I think you will. I think that'll be a direct correlation to, like, this. Even as wayward as our fans are said to have become, they've always chased a winner. And a winning football team is one special thing in this town. Like, I'm assuming, Anthony, you've been part of at least one really, really good Bucks victory and how the stadium kind of crawls afterwards.
No, actually I haven't.
Really?
No. All the Bucks games I've ever been to, they've lost. The highlight was when I puked in a garbage can after Mike Vick beat us 1 year. So, I've never actually seen the Bucks live win at home.
Oh, that's truly sad.
I mean, it's not, shouldn't be really surprising. It was like playing the lottery there for a while. So, but yeah.
Okay. Well, Kyle and I have good memories of Raymond James, and when that place is going and raucous, it's a fun environment to be in.
It is.
Especially late in the season when the weather's nice.
Dirk Cutter's...
I mean, I've seen it on TV.
He's already come out and said, I don't know, maybe probably in the post-game press conference, but he already said he doesn't want to see any Saints jerseys in the lower bowl this coming game. And
he's taking a book out of Vinick's or page out of Vinick's book.
Well, I mean, he said that in previous games too, and it was the Atlanta game that we lost where it completely blew up in his face. But I mean, this time it's true. We got to really step up as a fan base these next four games. All we got to do at this point is win two. our magic number is now at two games. And we could be looking.
8-9-7 gets a wild card spot.
We have the wild card spot.
Yeah, we are. Right now we're in a wild card spot. We played
winning two of those. So if we go 9-7, doesn't matter what else happens in the NFC.
No, I think if another team wins out,
they would have to win out.
Yeah, I think. I want to put this out there right now before we get to this game.
You do that. Let me inquire.
Yeah. This Saints game coming up is extremely important because the next game is in Dallas against Dallas, and it's probably going to be in prime time if we win against the Saints. So, and I don't know about you guys, as much as like I have more faith in this team, I still expect that Dallas game to probably be a loss. So yeah, they need to get this win in the bag this week because it could very quickly turn into two losses in a row if they don't.
Why, Mr. Pessimism over there?
Yeah,
Jesus Christ.
I'm not ready to go. Yeah, but playoffs.
Well, what more do you need to see? What more do you? We just won four games in a row, three against very quality opponents. What more are you asking from these guys? Like, what are you waiting to see from them?
I'm waiting until they actually get in. I'm just not ready to go. And it's not anything to do with the way the team is playing. Like, they're playing really well and they're winning a lot and it's great. I'm waiting till it's done and in stone because they fucking disappointed me before, and I don't want that again. I'm not ready for it. I'm not ready.
Well, wait a minute. Hold on a second. When early in this game, when I was panicking, doom and gloom, and you in so many words told me to give them the benefit of the doubt. I mean, where's that Anthony now? How come?
No, you should, because the Chargers aren't that great of a team, and we've been playing well. Like, but because it was 7-0 in the first quarter. Like, that's different than they need to go to the rest of the season and keep this level of play up. Like, that, it's a different situation than 7-0 in the first quarter.
What? Very true. He's got a point.
But has there been any indication that this level of play isn't going to continue?
I don't know. It could or could not. I'm just saying, let's not count the eggs before they hatch, or count the chickens before they hatch.
Let me take you guys back to a year, and Kyle specifically to a moment at Ferg's, where we found the Bucks losing John Gruden's final game after losing four in a row, and we fired him after being 9-7.
What are you talking?
I'm just saying, we're all hyped up on Mountain Dew and everything, and loving how we play right now, and we could very easily lose the last of these games and miss everything.
Right.
Look, I'm just saying, I don't want to get ahead of ourselves yet. This team is playing really well right now. There's a lot of positive things to take from it. They've won four in a row against good teams. Everything's great. But we've talked about it before. Everything could turn on a dime. And I'm just trying to mentally prepare for if that happens. But I really hope it doesn't. And I don't think it will personally, but it could.
Oh, well, you heard it here first, folks. Anthony doesn't think the Bucks are going to make the playoffs.
Not what I said, but okay.
I'm glad he took the bullet for that one.
Oh, so Nick, you think so as well, huh? So I guess I'm the only one here with any kind of faith in the organization. Well, I'll show you guys.
Before the season started, I'm the only one picking them with over a 500 record. That's Don't true. Give me that.
Yeah, that's right. What did you say, 9-7?
Yep.
Okay.
Very well happened.
Ooh. I've been right this year sometimes. Anywho, so what aspects of the game do you want to get to first?
Let's start with the beginning. The Buccaneers go down early in the game by a touchdown. It almost did we get down by 14 at one point? Or
I don't. Yeah, no, we came back to tie it at 7.
Yeah, it was 7-7 and 14-7.
That's right. Okay. So the Chargers open up their opening drive with a touchdown, just easily go downfield.
Yeah, with Werner falling down.
Yeah. And from that moment, I'm thinking, oh, boy, this is the West Coast trip.
We're tired.
We're the Bucks. It just didn't seem like a good thing to me, especially because on the very next drive – we go four now, right? Or did he? Is that where the interception came?
Yeah, it was. We already picked off. That it was a horrible throw too.
Okay, so yeah. Jameis Winston throws an interception midfield,
forcing it to Evans, but he was forced because you could see the pass block didn't help him out too much.
The game it was a really strange game because it started off so slow because there was like three injuries right off the bat between Adam Humphries, Cecil Shorts
and Luke Stocker was the first
and Luke
one.
Stocker, yeah.
Yeah.
So like just one after the other, like of just
all
these
on offense.
Weird injuries. So it's like we never really got to establish a rhythm on offense for that first drive. And then Jameis goes out there and throws an interception. So from that point, I'm thinking, well, we're fucked. Like here we go with this. but credit to the defense, they're able to force the Chargers to punt. The Buccaneers get the ball back.
It was a very important takeaway for us because that could have started snowballing real quick.
Yeah. Yeah. Those sort of things tend to go bad for us. It's kind of strange. You're always expecting the Bucs to go back to their old ways and they just don't do it or they just haven't done it thus far. Like this game
recently. Yeah.
This game was the, a prime example of that, where in past years you would have just seen them crumble under this kind of adversity, where you know you go down early, and then your quarterback throws an interception. But the Bucs rallied after John Lambeau just kicks a horrible lame duck.
I mean, a knuckleballer of a kick.
Yeah,
I thought I got blocked, but I guess not. I guess he just shanked.
No, he just booted it, and he hit it with his wrong part of his foot. The announcer was talking about how when you go up there and swing it as hard as you possibly can, the aiming kind of goes out the window, and you just hope you can't connect at the right spot.
Really? Huh.
Yeah, that's why he's just like, he hit it really hard. You saw the trajectory, or the, I can never.
The power.
Yeah, the oomph of the ball when it hit the stands.
It certainly had the leg.
Oh yeah,
but not anywhere close.
Yeah, about 15 yards to the left.
So, after that, the offense kind of marches down the field. A little bit of Jameis Winston magic, a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and next thing you know, Doug Martin's punching it in for seven, and we're tied. We got us a ball game, folks.
It was almost like an optimistic call, too, because you saw everybody, like when Doug Martin hit the pile, it stopped all of a sudden you just see him fall forward with the ball.
And that's the big difference to me between Doug Martin and the other two backs, is that he's so good at turning nothing into something. Like, that's like his specialty, is like getting 3 yards when he's stuffed at the line. Like, that's why I like him more. That's why I like him more than Carl Sims and Jaquizz Rodgers. I mean, Rodgers is actually pretty good at that too, now I think about it. But
well, speaking of something out of nothing, who the fuck is Melvin Gordon?
He was a first round pick.
Was he?
Yeah, he's pretty good. He broke all kinds of records at Wisconsin. He's a good
AFC runner. Mars.
Yeah, like
San Diego's like on a different planet. So
I remember, I remember in the beginning of the game, I think whoever the jabroni was who was announcing our game, he was talking about like Philip Rivers, one of the greatest quarterbacks to ever play the game. I'm thinking, what? Like what? Really? Him?
It was
like,
David Deal, wasn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. No, it was.
He's good, but he doesn't win anything.
I mean, yeah, he is really good statistically. And then, like, another thing they kept bringing up, like Gates to Rivers or Rivers to Gates. What a great historic tandem
connection. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm thinking, what? Like, oh, okay.
Antonio Gates is at least 60 years old.
Yeah. He's had Drew Brees and Philip Rivers and those two. Wasn't there another guy mixed in there?
Nope. It was
Charlie Whitehurst.
Ryan Leaf.
How could I forget?
This is I don't know, yeah, especially AFC, but like more so like West Coast AFC is just like I'm so far disconnected with. I'm just okay. Yeah, you're a franchise.
We won a championship in your city.
Yeah. LT doesn't play for you anymore, so it doesn't. You don't matter. You're not relevant to us anymore.
Wow.
Says the guy. Says the Bucks fan that barely won against your team. So I guess Melvin Gordon's is hella good, and he hella showed it because they use him a lot against us on the in the first half. Him and Phillip Rivers were basically the entire offense.
It was because if it wasn't a run to Gordon, it was either a breakdown of protection and a flip pass to him where he burnt us for 15 yards.
Dumb.
We are so bad at covering checkdowns.
Okay, so can you rewind? There's a highlight that we're going to be watching, and it's of a pass that's caught across the middle, and the way the player fell down, his helmet was turned around facing the exact opposite way.
There you go.
I have no idea how that happened and how he doesn't have something wrong with his nose.
He is actually Morticia Adams's black son. He's a part of the Adams family, and as you know, they're otherworldly, and so they're able to right?
I appreciate your attempt.
Wasn't that one of the tropes of the Adams family that, like, you know, Wednesday could like do some crazy paranormal shit and.
I think of the cartoon, yeah.
Yeah, he's an Adam family guy. I don't know. So the Chargers drive down the field to take a 7-point lead here in the second half.
Yeah, because also Melvin Gordon happens to be able to run between tackles too.
Yep.
I don't understand how we haven't heard more about this kid, because I say kid, I have no idea how old he is, but. He seems to be too good to be off of all of our radars. And I know I'm going to say a naughty word here, but fantasy-wise, I don't know him. Anybody else?
Nope. He's not, like, Phillip Rivers is the only guy on my radar.
I only know about him because I follow college football pretty closely. So, like, I knew about him coming out of school and stuff like that, but I didn't know how well he was on your radar recently. I didn't know how well he was doing in San Diego.
Exactly. Like, why do these guys keep having good days against us, even if we win?
Well, he's good. We just don't know about him.
Yeah, I think that's it. I mean, if we played in the AFC, we'd know who the fuck.
And I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that are experts that would like tell you, oh, yeah, you need to watch out for this guy if you're playing San Diego.
Yeah.
Well, of course you want to watch out for their starting running back, but, I mean, I'm just
saying.
That's
not always true. Like, we played the 49ers earlier this year. Like, you know, some teams you don't really need to worry about anybody, but.
Yeah, it's true. Well, speaking of guys you got to worry about on the Chargers.
Get lit.
Joey Bosa is.
A monster.
A monster.
Yes.
Dude's a monster.
He's a beast.
I'm going to add a word to that, though. He's unpolished, because he probably could have had at least 2.5 more Jameis Winston sacks that he just kind of like, whoopsied.
Yeah, he's a rookie. So it's big.
He could have had more.
I think that was one of his knocks coming out of college, is that he's just really raw.
Yeah, he is raw, man. He's
kind of like Noah Spence.
Yeah. But still, man, he was good.
Oddly enough, they were roommates.
So
yeah, they went to Ohio State together.
Noah Spence and Joey Bosa. Keep wanting to say John Lambeau, but that's or Josh. That's her goddamn kicker. So Joey Bosa sacks Jameis Winston. We were in the red zone. Put it that way. Joey Bosa sacks Jameis Winston for a huge loss.
Joey Bosa.
And then Roberto Aguayo proceeds to do this.
And the kick is wide right. It's been that kind of a season for one of the high draft picks.
Even Winston was frustrated.
Seriously, yeah. He walked away clinching and being pissed off. Usually you never see him do anything like that. And then he turned around and then like rubbed it off. He's like, okay.
He's always lifting teammates up and stuff like that. Like, we family, but like that, you could tell in that moment he was like, "Fuck this guy!" Like,
yeah, because
get him off my team.
It's such a close game, and he works so hard to get us down just to there that point. Thinking, okay, well, you know, we'll kick the field goal and, you know, call it a day, and bring the.
Think of how scary this is going to be in a game that truly, truly matters later on in the season. I don't know, like next week or Dallas.
Yeah, man. I don't know what it's within a 30, within 40. You gotta make the goddamn kick. Okay, there's no excuse for that. You know, Josh Lambeau, he missed a 53 yarder. That's a little bit more acceptable. But fuck sakes, man, 31 yards is a chip shot, and it's on the fucking right hash mark, which is what you prefer in the first place. Like, we all know that.
But that was set for you.
Yeah. Why do we know that? Why do I fucking know that you prefer the right hash mark if not for the fact that we drafted you in the second round and it's all over the fucking goddamn place?
It's an excuse. That's why you know it. It's an excuse that's been given to the team about his positioning.
No, it's back from the Monday night game where Jameis, he put it on the right hash mark because that's where he prefers to kick from. And so I'm thinking, okay, right hash mark. He should make it, and he shanks it. Like, wide right. How the fuck do you go wide right on the right?
It didn't even look particularly windy.
No, it wasn't windy. I don't know.
Bad. He's fucking bad.
I don't know.
He's
bad.
I'm tired of just not saying it. He's bad. He's bad. It was a mistake. It's embarrassing. Get rid of him. Get over it.
Here's the thing.
Goddamn, Bucks.
This is what's going to happen. And I think this isn't a very bold. I think we can all see the whiting on the wall.
The whiting on the wall.
Nothing on the wabbits.
He'll get cut, and then he'll get picked up by another team and just be
New England.
Yeah, just be
Be awesome.
Automatic. I mean,
why does everybody have to lose their fucking crappy football virginity to the Bucs?
I don't know, but
they always go someplace else and then prove to be really good.
I think we need another solution. I think there needs to, we need to at least look into some other solutions at kicker, because this if we truly want to make the playoffs, this can't happen. This kind of stuff cannot happen.
Maybe bring in another kicker and practice and stuff like that. Like there's a bunch of kickers out there. I'm sure they're looking for jobs and maybe not even cut a Glile right away. Just have somebody in practice
just to come to compete.
Yeah, like because this is not. He should not. I don't care what round he got drafted in. He should not be this secure in his fucking job at that position. I'm sorry.
Especially with the way he's been kicking. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, how many other kickers would have been cut already?
Most.
Most. Yeah.
I would say most.
This shit's like acceptable in college. It's, you know, and a kicker can get away with this shit in college because you can't just bring in another kicker. In the NFL, like, there's plenty of guys out there that are probably good kickers that are looking for jobs.
Or at least guys you can feel comfortable with within 45.
Yeah, or within 40. Like, I wouldn't even say 45. Like, within, he lined up for, like, what, a 30, was it below 30 yards?
31-yard.
31-yard field goal. And I'm like fucking biting my nails.
Yeah.
For second-round pick.
31 from the right hash mark.
Like, yeah, no. It's done. Experiment
as a franchise
over.
That's been as bad as we've been, for all of us to say this is the most nervous we've been about a kicker, is that's saying something.
It's, I don't think we're being too hard on the guy because it's week 13 and he's still consistently inconsistent. It's not acceptable. Something's got to be done.
It's just not. Just admit, we were sold this bill of goods about this guy when he was drafted.
Oh, bill of goods.
We were. What are you talking about?
You're right, but you know what? You said it yourself. We're at week 13. It is enough time to start us giving flack for him. But everybody gets at least a season, guys. Calm down.
No.
Not when you're trying to make the playoffs.
Not when you're a fucking kicker and there's 10 others that could do your job.
Look, I agree, bring in somebody else, but you're not going to get to cut him.
Okay. Well, then fine, he can stick around. I just don't want him kicking anymore.
Look, if we were below 500, I'd be more than happy to let him kick out the rest of the season. Let's work the kinks out and develop with us. But suddenly we have a team that's ready to compete right now, and If that's the case, then there's no room for him to develop. There's just not. He's got to. Something's got to give.
I see what you're saying. I do, but I don't. I'm not. Maybe that's why we have the label that we do, that players go off and be great other places, because we don't have the goddamn patience.
Well, let him. He's a fucking kicker. It's not like he's an all-pro quarterback or a cornerback, or he's a fucking kicker.
Fair enough.
He's just going to be making field goals and three-pointers. We're like, oh boy, there's field goals and three-pointers that the other guy makes most of the time. Like, it's like the margin of difference here that we're talking from kicker to kicker, it's not, it shouldn't be that huge. I mean, most,
All right. We're spending too much time
on the kicker. That's ridiculous. Why that we even ever talk about the kicker? Anyways, we won this game, so fuck that guy. Spoiler alert: we won the game. Okay, it was all for naught, or it wasn't.
Oh, geez, Kyle.
this has been a really positive podcast after a win.
Well, Jameis, the Bucks come out in the second half, and Roberto Aguayo actually does nail a field goal, narrows the lead down to four, and then Levante David picks off a pass that was tipped by Vernon Hargraves III and takes it to the motherfucking house. Second turnover in a row for Levante, or is it the second or third?
Game with a turnover?
Yeah.
Second game in a row. Yeah,
last week he had the strip fumble of Jimmy Graham. This week he's being opportunistic and grabbing passes out of the air and taking them to the fucking house. That was beautiful. That was old school. So unexpected.
Yeah, I was just about to say that was so Brooks.
Yeah. I think the Bucks before this game had 20-something turnovers. And they were top five in the league. And so, I mean, we remain top five in taking the ball away after two today. And very unexpected, very awesome. But then the Chargers just turn it right around and bomb one deep on a deep.
Like, I was wondering, because you know when the camera guy starts blurring past people and you can't identify who they are?
Mm-hmm.
You know it's a fucking fly route.
Yeah, well, it was a post that he completely shook Brent Grimes, on the post route. And
did he start on the left side of the field?
He started on the right side, but he just ran a post, you know, up and out.
You know, it was a beautiful throw by Rivers.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, it was. He's good, man, and. Like we talked about, I think it's just because he plays in San Diego that you don't hear about him more. He's a really good quarterback, I think.
Wait, I'm sorry, Nick. It was a flag. I'm sorry, flag route, not a post. Post is inside, flag's outside. Madden taught me that. Do we lose Nick? Is he gone now?
No, I'm here. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. So they immediately just come right back, and I had a weird feeling that they were going to do that.
I saw a seesaw game after they scored because I was like, well, you know, we're going to score again, but how often are they?
Mm-hmm. Next drive, Jameis Winston makes America braid again, finds him down the field, and sets up another Roberto Aguayo field goal. So I guess he made two.
Can we talk about Cam Brate?
Cam Brate's absolutely the man.
Do we have a little something like a special brewing on our hands here with Brate?
I think so.
I'll say this much. It's this team doesn't often cover the Bucks, correct? Like, we don't ever often get David Deal.
Right.
Right.
So what they said was, when they were speaking to the players beforehand, that Cameron Brait has incredibly benefited from having time with Jameis Winston. Working out with him. Studying, being a film junkie, because it's rubbing off on the players. And Jameis Winston is, as we all know, like a football junkie. So Cameron Brate is just becoming even that much more of an athlete because the kid went to an Ivy League school. Was it Harvard or Stanford?
Harvard.
Harvard.
Yeah.
Harvard. So, you know, he's a smart kid. He's latching on to what seems to be one of the best young rising quarterbacks in the league. And I think they might be developing some kind of real chemistry.
I want him and Alex Killorn to be friends.
You know, he's got a kind of a funny pro career because we signed him as an undrafted free agent in 2014.
Yeah.
And picked up by the Saints. And then a week later, he was back with us.
Really? Well, he's been around that long.
We got to say, Jameis Winston's connection with him early saved his roster spot initially. And then he worked through it.
Well, I'll just, like, for a tight end, well, all I want in a tight end threat is just consistent hands.
Yeah.
Like, just someone that's going to get you that first down, get a catch in the red zone. Like, everything that gets thrown his way, it just seems like he's always catching it.
Yeah.
It's very true. Very sure-handedness. Not somebody that when it's a jump ball, I think, oh, Lord.
And he's not high-stepping into the end zone down 42-14. So.
Yeah. Well, high elbows. I like it.
Speaking of old Cameron Brate, he makes a catch between three defenders in the end zone to bring the Buccaneers ahead.
Great throw.
Great catch. And then on the ensuing conversion.
Great play call.
Fantastic play call. Just selling out everything to the right. Jameis Winston is able to evade Joey Bosa and finds Mike Evans back in the end zone for the two-point conversion, which would prove to be pretty big because it makes it so a touchdown only ties it, you know.
Yep.
And then, you know, at that point in the fourth quarter, the Chargers are driving, so all you got to do is just stop that drive. And
you got to make sure that they can't score and you're bleeding the clock.
Yeah. And that turns out what happens because Keith Tandy intercepts Philip Rivers.
Would that be what's considered the 4-minute defense?
Philip Rivers' reaction to that pick is one of the best things I've ever seen.
His reactions in general.
His helmet is already off. Like, for all he knows, Keith Tandy could have got up and ran, and he would have been.
He has such peaks and valleys on his face every game. Like he seems so upset all the time when things are going bad, but when like things are going good, he's like so happy and happy.
He's a bipolar quarterback.
He is just like,
good job taking all those bolos.
He wears his emotions on his sleeves, and yeah, those bolos, it stole his power. Motherfucker.
Keith Tandy. Someone new every week. Last week it was Bradley McDougal.
It sounds like they're buying into Mike Smith.
Yeah. Yeah. This defense is, and they didn't look great at times today. They had that drop on that deep ball to Benjamin that should have been caught.
Yeah.
We were lucky.
That saved our bacon.
That was momentum changing if he caught that, by the way.
Oh yeah, that would have probably been the one of the nails in the coffin for the Bucks.
I forgot what the score was when that happened.
I think that was the 14-7. They would have gone up 21-7 at that point in time.
No, it was in the second half, and I think it was prior to the Brate touchdown. So it still would have been put us behind by two scores.
So, I thought the defensive line was pretty disruptive today. They weren't obviously on the level last week, but they were making Rivers uncomfortable back there a lot of the
time. Let's also point out that the San Diego offensive line is a little better than Seattle's.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah, Seattle's offensive line is they don't look like it tonight, but they're not very good.
Well, let's
they're playing Carolina, so.
You know what Rivers is really good at is those little sidearm throws?
Yeah, he is. I was noticing that, too.
You never see his balls get batted down, and it's because he can change his arm angle.
Yeah, but like I'm just talking like when he's under pressure and he just like steps up in the pocket a little bit and then delivers like a sidearm throw to the check down. Like he was good at that. He was doing that a lot to avoid sacks and stuff.
Did you guys see, we're going back to that long touchdown that the Chargers had. Did you see how badly Gerald McCoy was held on that play?
Terribly.
Oh.
He got like tackled.
It was so blatant. We're looking at it now. Look. Gerald McCoy's back is to the camera and he's being, look, oh, he's so bad. And he would have got, like, if that wouldn't have happened, he would have got right in Philip Rivers' yeah. his face and probably wouldn't have got the pass Rivers. Off. Can't talk tonight. Can't talk. So, yeah, Keith Tandy intercepts the ball. Bucks win. The game wasn't over quite yet.
We had to get a first down.
Yeah, Jaquizz Rodgers gets a first down and looked good doing it. I really think that next week they ought to just kind of have a little two-headed monster going on back there with old Dougie. Yeah,
maybe Doug Martin won't be hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah, we didn't talk about that. He went up limping, and then I don't think he came back.
I think he did. Yeah, he did.
But he only came back for like two plays, and they were both not very successful.
Wow. Yeah, go in the locker room, kid.
So, yeah, no, at that point in time, absolutely. I mean, the fourth quarter for the Bucks was execution style.
Yeah, they really did. They did execute well in the fourth quarter.
They didn't. Yeah, they didn't. They didn't leave a whole lot to chance. They didn't. You know, they just closed it when they should have. We could have very easily. You know,
which is
the ball back. There was still about 2 minutes, and I know San Diego didn't have any timeouts, but still, you know, it's enough.
But that's a trait of an older Bucks team. You know, we would wane in the later stages of the game, and this one seems to be able to actually, I don't know, outlast the other opponent. I see us that we look like we have a lot more game left in us later in the games now. I don't know if it's because we're all winning and winning helps everything, or if their training off season went better. I have no idea, but.
Well, we're learning how to win games. You know, we're learning how to complete a football game.
Yeah. But in a lot of different fashions too.
I know. I mean, this game looked ugly for us, but I mean, these are the kind of games that we lost all the time before. I mean, we've seen a lot of these games go the other way. So you're seeing a team that's learning how to finish and finish strong. That's why I think these next few weeks we have a chance to win every single game, including the Dallas game. We have a chance to win those games.
I would agree with that.
New Orleans, you got to win. Carolina, you got to win all those games.
You got to win those two. Not just because they're divisions, but they're weaker opponents.
Yeah, and Dallas... they have a chance to beat them. I'll say that.
Yeah, I don't, like I said earlier, that I don't think they will, but I didn't say that they couldn't. I mean, they could. It could happen. And Dallas already clinched this playoff spot today. I'm sure they're still going for seeding. And stuff
absolutely. And will we play them not next week, but the week after, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're not going to be in cruise control just yet.
Yeah.
Nope.
Not until week whatever.
Week 17. Like
16 or 17. Yeah,
that week. Yeah, I think the playoffs have been clearer than they have ever been since, you know, 2008. You know, we have a clear shot to make it, and I think that it's very possible for us to do this year. Now, how far we go in the playoffs, that remains to be seen. But, you know, they've shown that they can beat quality opponents, that they can deal with adversity. So. This is very interesting. So we're guaranteed 7-9 at least. And you know what else this does? Because I spoke about culture a little bit earlier. But this kind of this could be a huge thing that we're watching right now, because it means that the Buccaneers might be keeping a head coach around for longer than 2 years. So it means that you have guys that buy into the same system year in and year out, that learn from their fellow teammates what it's like to play in the system, what it's like to win in the system. So you're kind of seeing we're finally like done swimming against the stream, you know, and we've kind of righted the ship, so to speak. How many other metaphors can I throw in there?
Pirates.
Yeah. We've baked the croissants. We've avoided the meteor. Bruce Willis stayed behind and blew it up, and the two halves are going to avoid us now. And Tom Hanks pushed the right buttons to get us back down to earth.
You've got more than a Grand Slam lead.
Yeah. I think we're on We're on the right track, okay? Doc and Marty are pushing us in the DeLorean. We got to get it up to 88 miles an hour to go back to 1985.
I was going to say 2000.
I got to ask, Kyle, since all this is all hunky-dory, do you still hate the uniforms?
Yeah, I still hate them.
They've really grown on me, man.
Yeah, they have too. They have as well. I'm kidding.
Winning in them, it helps grow.
Yeah, I think so. I was thinking about that today.
I think that's it. The helmet flag stopped looking oversized when I started comparing it to the other logos. Like, the other logos take up all the helmet.
Well, now we're just used to seeing it, you know.
That's true.
So now it's like it's hard to imagine the other.
Well, I think Anthony's right too, because he's winning changes a lot of perspectives.
Yeah, it does. Okay, I think that's where we can leave this one at for now.
Yeah, we'll talk. Obviously, we'll talk more on the regular show.
All right.
Yeah, more about New Orleans, the Saints.
New Orleans. We'll make sure you check out
Jambalaya and throw it at you.
Jambalaya and gumbo and all that stuff. You start with a good roux, making sure it's nice and dark, and then you throw in some of your.
Oh, one more thing. Yeah. There was a lot of red in San Diego today.
Yeah.
That was new.
I saw Jameis Winston's face in the end zone.
Oh, yeah. There was a big cutout of his head. Buckaholics is apparently who did that. They're a big fan group out in California. They were at the 49ers game. You know, but you probably couldn't see him as well because red is one of the 49ers colors.
Yeah.
Yeah. But apparently they're huge out in California. And Jesus Christ, they were everywhere. So,
well, good for them. They didn't do any chants. It was good.
Yeah, I didn't see. You don't see that very often for Tampa, another team invading or us invading another team's stadium.
Unless they're playing like the Florida Panthers or something like that, then no.
Yeah. Not really. I've seen it in Atlanta and I've seen it in Florida or, you know, in Sunrise, but that's about it.
Yep.
We don't get much cross. I mean, the Rays did when they were popular, but.
Yeah. Not like that. You see guys in Rays
here and there. Yeah, you're right.
Games, but not like that.
Maybe that's like a lot for what I think.
Yeah.
There's like a game or two in Baltimore where there's a little bit of a Rays cheering section. I don't know. Anyways.
Did that happen to be with the ones you were there?
No, not at all. It was like on TV, some idle Tuesday night. Make sure you check out the main show on Thursday. I'm sure if you're listening to this, you know how to find it. Just keep listening or keep waiting till Thursday. Right?
Right here.
Right here. Wait. Do not move. I will murder you. I will find you and I will kill you. Okay, guys.
All right, Liam Neeson.
Yeah. All right. That was the Rapid Reaction Show. Go Buccaneers. Your Bucks are now 7-5. And
nothing makes sense, but it's going to be okay.
Yeah. check out the show Thursday. That was Rapid React. I'm Kyle.
I'm Nick.
I'm Anthony.
Goodbye. We're